Hi everyone, this is Achyuta Bhava from Nightlight Astrology, and today we are going to take a look at Mercury in the sign of Scorpio. This is a part of a series that I've done called Planets in Profile, started with Venus and Mars, taking them through all the 12 signs. I'm now taking Mercury through the 12 signs. So Mercury's in Scorpio currently as I make this video, but this should be content that could help you really at any point in time to identify the meaning of Mercury in Scorpio in any chart that you're looking at, including your own. So let's dive in. Mercury in Scorpio. This is Mercury in the fixed, cool, moist, feminine water sign of Mars. So let's put all of that together. Again, you have water, whose qualities are cold and moist. You have this as a feminine sign, so feminine water sign. It's also called fixed or solid, and it is also the temple of Mars. So in ancient astrology, all of the planets have two signs, except for the sun and the moon. The sun and the moon, you know, we've got Leo and Cancer, and then all of the other planets get two signs each, one masculine, one feminine. Now, when a planet like Mercury is traveling through the zodiac, if it is not in Gemini or Virgo, its masculine and feminine sign, then it is like a house guest in someone else's house. And in this case, it's a house guest in Mars's house. And then you have not only Mars's house, but you have this particularly feminine domain of Mars. So that's how we think about it. And you can always replace the words feminine and masculine if you want with yin and yang. They're very similar in ancient philosophies. So Mercury is thus going to express itself when it is in Scorpio through martial qualities, meaning through Mars-like qualities, or in relation specifically to the position of Mars in the chart that you're looking at. And you always have to remember that. This is what's called the guest-host relationship. Mercury on its own, of course, is the god of communication, speech, to a certain extent, travel, information, ideas, invention, messengers and messages, and even things like the busyness of a marketplace or the busyness of an airport or a bus station or a subway. These are all mercurial themes. When you have Mercury, again, in any sign other than Virgo or Gemini, Mercury is going to express itself through the lens of the planetary host that it's engaged with. So Mars, in the case of Scorpio. And then more specifically, you always have to look at the position of Mars in the chart to fill out the interpretation. That's not something that's very easy. You have to take time to learn how to do that. That's something that I teach in depth in my courses. But that should give you enough to go on, you know, if you're kind of practicing at home. So what are these qualities of Scorpio? Well, when you're talking about the feminine Mars-like qualities of Scorpio, you're talking about Mars, the god of war, action, conflict, but you're giving it a very deep and autumnal quality. This is also a watery quality, and it's very fixed. So you're talking about words like intensity, depth, power, protection, defensiveness, possessiveness, or desire, and that kind of deep burning or smoldering of desire, as well as the potential for things like paranoia or fixation on objects of our desire or on potential threats, and therefore kind of paranoid defensiveness or protectiveness or even possessiveness that can come in. But these are all, they can be positive or negative. You know, there's virtues and there's vices in every sign. It depends on how each person is relating to the sign and what each person's karma is. But when you get this Mercury-Mars combination, sometimes you're going to see themes like science and math. Other times you're going to see themes like investigation and research, probing and penetrating with the mind or speech. You have also sometimes a kind of dark, sort of erotic quality to the mind or the voice, or even to the way that people speak or talk. So let me try to now unpack some of this Mercury-Mars combination by looking at a bunch of different people that probably everybody knows who were born with Mercury and Scorpio, and try to reveal or uncover some of how the planetary combination can be seen, you know, at work in their life. Now, I'm not like a biographical expert on all these people's lives, so I'll do my best. But if I get something wrong, you know, please feel free to let me know or add in your own insights, so maybe other people that I leave out. I look on, you know, there's different databases online where you can pull this information, and I pull based on people that I know or am familiar with that very clearly illustrate different sides of the planet. But I say this also because inevitably people always complain that I forget someone or I didn't mention someone or whatever. So, all right. So let's talk, for example, about the smoldering kind of the sort of smoldering pop star. Katy Perry is a great example of Mercury in Scorpio. She has this kind of bad girl reputation, but she's deep and intense and smoldering and sort of has that sort of power behind her. And another example of someone that would have something similar would be Kim Kardashian. If you go on to the mass, or Miley Cyrus, another good one. And one of the things that's really interesting about Mercury and Scorpio is that there's often the need to say or do something provocative, provoking, of course, being a Mars symbol, or something that is a deliberate fixation on something that is dark. And dark doesn't mean bad. It doesn't mean immoral. It can also mean that which is repressed. For example, a lot of Mercury in Scorpio people are the ones that are going to take us to make sure that we see something that's being neglected or unseen or hidden or not talked about or discussed that could be taboo or secretive on some level. In fact, water signs were called mute specifically because they tended to be secretive. And Scorpio tends to be more provocative and secretive at the same time, or dangerous and secretive. So Miley Cyrus, of course, provocative. Katy Perry, provocative. Interestingly, they both came from really strong Christian upbringings. And then you've got people like Kim Kardashian as well. One of the reasons that Kim Kardashian, clearly not the only reason, but one thing, of course, that is very fitting for Mercury and Scorpio was the uncovering of like one of these sex tapes. And, you know, I think maybe some of the celebrities out there do this on purpose to, you know, get money or to increase their fame. And then other people, it's truly like, you know, unexpected, or someone's violating their privacy. But there's, and I have no idea the background of her particular story, but that was something that's clearly, it's clearly very provocative part of her life, right? And you can roll through others that have this kind of bad boy appearance. For example, Matthew McConaughey, really good example of someone who's, one of the things that he's doing now quite a bit, as far as I can tell, is he's doing commercials where his voice, you know, his smooth, like his little drawl or whatever, you know, and he's selling the sort of sexiness and intensity and depth of his voice. Well, there's many others who have similar quality with the kind of like back in when I was a kid, it was Luke Perry. Do you guys remember Luke Perry from, I think it was 90210. Is that the name of the show, or Melrose Place or whatever it was? But I think it was 90210, Luke Perry, Penn Badgley from Gossip Girl. Was that what it's called? Gossip Girl. Actually, I met Penn and worked with him on the ayahuasca monologues back in the day. He had worked in South America with ayahuasca and got to work with him on a stage performance of storytelling about ayahuasca. That was really, he really, really nice guy. But he has that smoldering, you know, he has that like teenage heartthrob smoldering thing. Well, you know who else has that is, where he's on my list. Where are you? Ryan Gosling, right? There's another, he's got that kind of deep, intense. In fact, in one of the movies, I think it was called Drive. I saw it back in the day. I think it's been a while since it was released. He wore a jacket that had a scorpion on it, I believe, throughout most of that movie. And I remember back in the day looking it up and being like, of course, he's got all this strong Scorpio energy in his chart, but Mercury and Scorpio. So you got that kind of smoldering quality. Now, this can go into like real dark territory, right? You can have the same kind of, the intensity and the depth can turn into people who are, there's certainly a collection of people who are somewhat scarier, like Ted Bundy or Charles Manson, right? Both sort of crazed cult leaders / serial killers. So they, you know, you do see that collection of more, you know, like, or even Aaron Hernandez, who is a tight end for the New England Patriots. And he ended up killing someone and then going to jail, and I believe dying in jail But here's an example of an athlete. Remember, this is a Mars ruled sign. Mars is the god of athletes, who has all this secretive stuff going on that's exposed, and he turns out to be this killer. So, like, again, Mercury in Scorpio can be really deep and intense, but you also have people who like to uncover things that are more of an occult nature with their minds, like Timothy Leary. Of course, Timothy Leary was one of the earlier proponents during the, you know, countercultural movement of LSD and LSD research and things like that. Him and Ram Dass, of course, which was Richard Alpert, I think was his name originally. But Aleister Crowley is another very interesting Mercury in Scorpio character, where he's an occult, you know, kind of an occult scientist slash occult writer. And the investment of the mind in things that are deep, intense, penetrating, occult, hidden, that can be there as well. You have also singer-songwriters that have this very powerful sort of dark, heavy, but kind of mournful, poetic quality, like Jeff Buckley, Sinead O'Connor, or William Blake, who is all poets and artists who have this really intense depth and darkness. There's others like Sylvia Plath, who famously wrote about her own battle with depression in, what was it called, The Bell Jar? I'm forgetting the name of her novel. Someone remembers the name of the Sylvia Plath novel that was so famous, and she wrote about I think it was a character rooted in her own experience with depression. The Bell Jar, is that what it was called? I can't remember. Martin Scorsese, there you go. He's written a ton of movies about gangsters and crime and the criminal underworld. See, you can feel it. Tom York from Radiohead, just like, he might as well be like a little angelic phantom ghost when he's singing. I mean, it's creepy, beautiful, dark, you know, and it's very intense, a lot of it, but rhetorically intense. Eminem is very similar, who has this really driven quality to his work, but it's also often very dark and a little, you know, it's, what do I want to say? What's the right word? I don't know. You guys come up with a good word. How else would you describe Eminem? He's a provoker, definitely. And that's a big part of it. You'll find that other people have this similar quality of being very provocative while also being philosophical, like Bruce Lee, a really great example of someone who is very provocative, a martial artist who also is this kind of philosophical mind. Similarly, Mark Twain, if you know, Mark Twain was a writer, of course, and but a satirical writer, that's the word I'm looking for, a satirical writer. So he was a satirist, I think they called him. So also, if you think about this satirical side, this is a bizarre one, but have you guys ever heard of Weird Al before? Weird Al Yankovic, I think that's his name. Satirical comedy, really weird stuff though also. And that's John Cleese, for example, from the Monty Python world, Mercury and Scorpio. And then you have a very serious side as well, like a military strategist, like Winston Churchill, or a very serious news anchor, interviewer, investigative reporter, Larry King, right? So, and you have on the other side again, well, let me just back up and say that, you know, that in the case of Larry King, you have someone who also manages to get people to share a lot of things. So people that can draw you out somehow. And that's something that also is very common for these heartthrobs, right? Like Ryan Gosling, for example, or whatever. There's this feeling of like the bad boy who can draw out the deep, dark truth, who doesn't want to play on the surface, or the bad girl who's like, don't give me any horse crap here. I want the real thing. Cardi B is another example of a sort of rock star, you could say a pop star, with Mercury and Scorpio. Mahatma Gandhi also had Mercury and Scorpio, a politician that is... he was obviously very aggressive in his message and was assassinated. If I remember, he was assassinated. And also, you know, he was a controversial peacemaker. Well, John Lennon also had Mercury in Scorpio. So some of the Mercury in Scorpio characters are going to have this deep underlying drive, but it's not necessarily that it shows on the surface. Like Mahatma Gandhi, for all intents and purposes, is a peacemaker, but there's this very intense fighter underneath the surface, a little quieter. John Lennon is the same way. Hillary Clinton also has Mercury in Scorpio, famously deals with this elaborate, you know, email controversy or whatever. And also, you know, one of the double standards that I think a lot of people would say that she faced, of course, is being really, you know, kind of strong and very sort of tough. And that there's a lot of people who say, you know, oh, like they don't like that in a woman, right? And that's not always like a fair, whether you like her or not, that's a double standard that a lot of people would say was applied to her, that she was called hawkish and mannish and, you know, and a lot of people also said that she was dubious and fake and blah, blah, blah. So, but a lot of that is also part of what women with Mercury and Scorpio will deal with, is being told that there's something about you that's too intense, or there's something about you that's not feminine enough, et cetera, because there's this real strength that can be there. And sometimes there is, sometimes there are, you know, the tendency to hide things, or for scandal or controversy, hide, you know, things that exist beneath the surface and so forth. So I think that pretty much covers all angles of it as far as, you know, all, as far as I've got. Drake is another one. I don't know if I mentioned Drake or not. Georgia O'Keeffe is another one. So those are some interesting people with Mercury and Scorpio. So that's what I've got for you guys. I would, and remember, when you're interpreting it in the birth chart, these are just some helpful things to get a feeling for how Mercury behaves in relation to Mars, but you in Scorpio, but you always want to look at the actual position of Mars in the natal chart, because that position and any aspectual relationship, any topics that Mars is covering in the chart in relation to Mercury, can significantly complexify the interpretation. So, but simple things first. I hope that this video helps you understand Mercury and Scorpio a little bit better. And stay tuned, because we're doing Mercury and Libra soon, I hope. But let me know your thoughts. If you have Mercury in Scorpio, add to this video by sharing some of your own experiences with this placement in your birth chart, or in the placement of people you know, or your experience with this transit when it comes around, especially right now as Mercury's retrograde Scorpio. All right, that's what I've got. I hope you guys have a great day. Take it easy. Bye.